Bishop Kenneth Untner was a renowned bishop in the state of Michigan, where I'm from. He was also quite well known among the nation's bishops as a leader, liturgical leader, theologian. He became the Bishop of Saginaw the same year I was ordained. A priest, excuse me. For the 4 years prior to that, he was the rector and president of the seminary. So he was my leader, person to whom I looked for direction and someone who touched my life a great deal. He was a prophetic man. He was a very forward thinker, and before his untimely death just a few years ago from a very rare kind of cancer, he one Lent and Easter season directed that in his diocese, in the Diocese of Saginaw, Michigan, that for this period of 97 days, that's 40 days of Easter, or 40 days of Lent, three sacred days called the Triduum, and 50 days of Easter, that's 93 days, I said 97, 93 days. For those 93 days, he had an instruction sent out to every parish. And what every parish had to do before every single meeting of any kind, if it was the meeting of the janitors or the secretaries in parishes and at the diocesan level, all the meetings that take place in the bishop's offices, the very first agenda item had to be this question: how shall what we are doing here affect or involve the poor? How shall what we are doing here affect or involve the poor? And he wrote about discovering how we forget the invisible poor, the poor poor, the ones who are rarely and never on the agenda, and the problem of trying to help what we sometimes refer to as the undeserving poor. You know, the ones especially that we have feelings about. Well, they're not really poor. If I give them a quarter, you know what they're going to do? They're going to go buy cigarettes or liquor. Those are, you know, the undeserving poor. We have attitudes about that. But he is quoted here. He says, "For many of us, the poor are often invisible. They aren't in our same networks. They aren't at the same gatherings. They don't belong to councils or committees. They aren't on the invitation lists. They don't bump into us at the supermarket. To find the poor, you must go out of your way. You must look with different eyes. For the poor feel that we don't want them in our lives. So they disguise themselves or they absent themselves." And then he had a comment about the undeserving poor, which is also good. "It's much harder to help the undeserving poor," he said. "They are the ones who have made the bad choices or failed to make choices at all. They are the ones who have been helped before and it didn't help. They are the ones who seem to expect us to bail them out and who hardly say thank you when we do. They are the ones who seem to take advantage of the system or other people. And finally, he issues this warning: be careful about metering out your help too carefully. Jesus was never overly careful about metering out his mercy. He was criticized for his largesse, his reckless mercy toward undeserving sinners. The memory of Jesus helps us, he says, deal with the undeserving poor. All this is kind of a framework to reflect a little bit on the gospel of today. Jesus offers us an example, and his apostles, and certainly the crowd that day, of how we can deal with the invisible poor, and the poor poor, and the undeserving poor, and those who are never on the agenda. You know, most likely this gathering out in the deserted place, thousands of people. There were people of every economic class and every background. And another scripture scholar, William Barclay, says, you know, people generally wouldn't have gone to a deserted place, a desert place, without some kind of provisions. But those would be the people who certainly had the wherewithal and the means to be able to think ahead and to bring what they had. Jesus, we see, is filled with compassion for the poor who are hungry that day, the poor who are there who are tired, the poor who are there who have traveled so far to be healed, who are weary, who are there looking for something to hope in. And Jesus takes that little bit the apostles can scrape together. The scripture says 5 loaves and 2 fish. After they've told him, we have nothing. And he says, but do something with nothing. You think you have nothing? Do something with it. And so nothing is a little bit, 5 loaves, 2 fish, but he took them, and interestingly, the same words that we hear at the Eucharist, he blessed them, he broke them, and he gave them. Those are the words of the Eucharist. So he took the little nothing that they offered him, and he blessed them and broke them and gave them, and there was, the scripture says, enough for everyone to be satisfied. And if that wasn't enough, there were even leftovers. Leftovers are wonderful. So there was so much. There was just so much. And again, William Barclay, the scripture scholar, said, you know, maybe the miracle, we shouldn't get focused on how did 5 loaves and 2 fish become enough food for everyone. That's a distraction. Maybe the greater miracle was about those who had gave to those who didn't have and shared what they had so that everyone had enough. Kind of utopic. It's kind of idealistic to think about, and to think about this world and what it could be if we took what we sometimes say, you know, I don't have enough. I can't do anything. What do I have? What is my purpose in life? What is my value? What, you know, I don't have a lot of money. I can't teach. I can't do this. I can't, you know, we're always like, ah, I can't. You know what Jesus would say to that? You don't have nothing? Do something with nothing. If you just give it to me, I'll do something with it. But we are generally pretty selfish with our nothing. You know how to make a wonderful casserole? Take it next door to someone who absolutely needs it at that particular moment. You know someone who's suffering? You know someone who's depressed, someone who's in an anxious state? Pick up the phone. Call them. That's nothing. It's everything. It's everything. It's feeding. Perhaps not always physical food. It's feeding the spirit, the heart, the soul of another. It's the miracle, again and again, of what happened this particular day in a deserted place in the scriptures. That community, or that day, all those individuals, again, the scripture says 5,000 men, not including women and children. What would that be? 10,000 at least? Arrived as individuals. They left as a community. I think we in turn can be motivated by the same compassion and the same softness of heart that always respects and gives a place to the poor at the table. And you know what? The greatest possibility is that on some days we are the poor. Perhaps not always economically, but we can be the poor in spirit, or the poor in energy, and the poor in hope. We can be those poor who need the community to embrace us. But on the days that we are the rich, we can always remember and reach out to the poor in bringing nothing to the Lord to offer then. Like the disciples, we cannot say we have nothing to give. We have nothing to offer. We have everything to offer because God makes it enough, and God knows exactly, just exactly, who it is that needs it and feeds them with life-giving food and drink.